My name is Jonathan Bruns. I'm 27, almost 28 years old. Today is the 16th of April, Saturday, and I'm 2016, and I'm speaking with
Colin Meldrum,
who is my husband, soon to be ex-husband. We are recording this interview in Bourges, France. Okay, talk about the first time we met and what went through your mind.
First time we met in person was at a coffee shop called Roy Street Coffee. It was one of your favorite places and not far from where I lived. And
what went through your mind when we met?
I remember being surprised by the strength of your personality and your transparency. You were very forward and direct about what was going through your mind, what had been happening in your life recently.
So those were positive things. What else? Anything that you didn't like?
Well, I'd say there were things that I liked and didn't like just in what I've already said. It was more of a very new experience for me. It wasn't necessarily it wasn't just something that I liked about you, and it certainly wasn't something that I disliked about you either. It was just something that caught me off guard, something that I had never really experienced with other people that I had met before.
Like going on a motorcycle ride?
That too, yeah.
Okay. How would you describe me to someone who has never met me?
I've often described us, the two of us, to other people as a yin-yang relationship. Me being the cooling yin energy and you being the more passionate yang energy. So I guess passionate is a good word, and emotive.
Okay. Now how would you describe yourself to someone who's never met you? And you can't just say yin.
Well, I can't say yin, but I think generally calm is something that other people have used to describe me, and I think that's a fair description. Maybe curious.
Curious Colin?
Yeah.
That's a nice alliteration.
Curious Colin. My parents were once asked to use alliteration to describe me, and the word they came up with was cautious, which I think is also fair, but an identity that I find most attractive that I think is also fair is curious. I like the idea of being curious, and I think I am.
Curious fear, like Temple Grandin says.
Yeah.
It's the only emotion
curious, cautious,
that calm. Animals experience two of at the same time. Yeah. Okay. What is something you are passionate about?
Helping, I think. It's something that I know that I get a lot of personal pleasure from. Either helping or at least feeling like I've done some help. Especially if I feel like I've helped someone gain a skill or learn something new, because learning is something else that I'm passionate about.
Okay. Tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life.
Well, most recently, telling you that I wanted a divorce. Or probably even more so, the conversations that led up to that. and dealing with the conflicting emotions that led to that decision and that continue throughout the process. And also the conflicting emotions of dealing with the fallout of a decision like that. The excitement of going in a new direction, but the guilt and shame of having a failed relationship, especially one built on marriage, and for being sort of the actor in that breakup, and just in being the instigator for the pain that I've caused you in the process of the separation and then moving towards ultimately separating.
And for the sake of clarity, why do you think divorce is necessary?
We've had a lot of conversations about this, and I don't know. It's we've said a lot of things, and I don't really know how to summarize things into just a few words, but
we've got time.
I really do feel like it just boils down to a conflict of personality. Even the things that I admire and enjoy in your personality are also things that are challenging for me. And I've spent a lot of time trying to decide what to do about that and what can be done about that. And in the end, I think that at its core, there are things that are foundational to our personalities that conflict in such a way that I would be healthier as a person if we weren't in the relationship. And I think that you would be healthiest as a person if you had the opportunity to be with somebody in the future who didn't have so much conflict with the relationship. Someone who could really love you.
Someone who's willing to be reciprocal.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
I think you're probably right in that part of it. Okay. Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influences on you for your life? As a child or as an adult, does it matter?
Yeah. Well, the first two that come to mind are my two parents, who I have very mixed feelings for, and we've had lots of conversations about our parents.
Different as they are.
I think we've been in pretty much agreement on what some of the strengths and weaknesses of our respective parents are.
Mm-hmm.
And
how that affects us.
Yeah. So my parents certainly aren't perfect, and I would like to think that I haven't inherited their weaknesses 100%, or at least that I'm more aware of them than they are. But I've definitely been influenced by them, both in positive and in negative ways. And if I focus on the positive ways, I'm really proud of that influence that they've had on me. So, you know, they're both teachers, and I love to teach, and they love the outdoors, and so do I, and those are big aspects of my personality, and you know, there are other ways too that they've influenced me.
Okay. Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
Hard to pick a single memory for happy. I have lots of happy memories, but
just one example then.
A lot of them really stick out.
Give a couple.
Going to Santorini was a really nice day. Santorini, Greece, when you're there with my brother and my sister-in-law.
Mm. Sean and Kira?
Yeah. It was a nice experience, all being together, but also just the place was such a memorable, unique location to experience. It's definitely a place that I present to other people as a must-see, something that you'd never regret seeing,
even though we've never found the warm spots in the water.
We found a few of them as they were floating by, but yeah, it definitely wasn't. I had forgotten about the swimming in the ocean part, and that was even a really fun part of it. But
yeah, and they told us, oh, it's warm water, there's like hot springs. Yeah. I think it was just somebody's farts that was warming up the water at the most.
Yeah. We did a lot that day. I was thinking more of just hiking up and down the cliff with the view that we had of the ocean and the those Greek white houses on the cliffside and the volcano, and coming up out of the middle of the crescent-shaped cliffs, and just really cool place. And we had dinner.
And getting to spend time with your brother and sister-in-law is really nice, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
I think one of the ways that my parents have influenced me is in learning to prioritize. And I don't think I realized as an adult, when I first came into adulthood, that I had learned that from them, because my priorities quickly became very different from my parents. With me becoming non-religious, for example, and my parents still being very religious. But that sense of actively sorting out your priorities and taking a look at yourself on a regular basis and seeing what you need to do in your life to get to where you want to be or to continue to grow in ways that will help you be a happy person and help the other people around you be happy as well. I think that's a good lesson to learn and one that I've kept in mind.
Okay. What are you proudest of personally and professionally in your life?
Professionally, maybe in the literary magazine Acapella Zoo that I did for years.
Why?
Just because it was something that took a lot of work, and even though the amount of work that I was willing or able to put into it varied from year to year, overall I did put in a lot of work, and I was really proud of the quality that came out of it, and I felt like...
You built it from nothing, too.
Yeah.
And a lot of people showed interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish that it could have been a more successful project than it was, but I think for what it was, within the context of literary magazines, it was definitely a quality publication, and I was really proud of it. It was my baby, and it was fun to play a role of helping writers find a voice as well. You know, it wasn't just my project. The project was to present other people's work, and
right.
So I felt like I was contributing something to a community, and
it's more of a co-op than a
okay.
Would you do something like that again?
Yeah, in fact, I've been talking with my sister-in-law, Ashley, about doing a blog.
Mm-hmm. Because she's a photographer, so she
can a photographer.
Add to that.
I've been looking recently at different ways to build up an income working online so that I can continue to travel and maybe be mobile or something for a few years before I figure out where I'm going to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
And so with my skills, things like copywriting have come up, where you write the content of magazine or of websites.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a little bit more marketing writing. But blogging came up, of course, which is something that people have repeatedly encouraged me to get into and I've never really been interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But I started looking into it and got an idea all of a sudden for something that would be really interesting to me. But while I was thinking about the idea, I was thinking...
What's the idea?
The idea is to do kind of a Humans of New York type project, but smaller scale. So you're...
What does that mean?
Humans of New York is a blog that then became a best-selling book, where a guy decided to quit his job and to pick up photography and take a snapshot of, I think his goal was 10,000 people who lived in New York.
Wow.
And...
Like mini biographies of people, or just snapshots in time?
Just a profile picture, just a portrait.
Hmm.
But as he was publishing those, he then began publishing a little quotation from that person, something that they said to him in their interaction, or a little story that they told him.
Like little candid portraitures.
Yeah. Sometimes sort of a StoryCorps type idea too, where if there were two people in the picture, the quote was something that one of them had said to the other while he was taking their picture. Always very short, maybe one sentence, maybe a couple. But it became really, really popular, and I think it's part of this movement where people, you know, we've always been super interested in celebrities, but I think the newer movement is to move away from that. Yeah, exactly. The idea is to move away from that and focus more on normal people, on the average person, and people are really taking an interest in who these normal people are that they've, you know, been neglecting. Mm-hmm. With all their focus on either celebrities or the me selfie type culture.
Well, since New York is taken, where would you go?
Well, my idea was to, as I continue to travel, to do a little snapshot, a little like biopic article on people that I meet, normal people that I meet. So if I go to And I could even backtrack and get back in touch with people I had met briefly in other cities. So, for example, you and I have a friend in Switzerland, Katrin. Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
I would interview her and use that interview to create some sort of article. Probably a combination of me writing my impressions of her based on the interview and little bits of the interview itself just transcribed, or hopefully get a story out of her.
Mm-hmm. So would you want to go to places that you and I have been before? Because as a couple, we've traveled to, so many places. England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland. Did you go to Ireland?
Yeah.
With me? Yeah. All over Europe, all over continental Europe. Just everywhere we've been. China?
My idea was to do a little bit of it retroactively, getting back in touch with people that I had met briefly in other places.
Right.
And doing the long distance interview.
Right.
But then to continue it by going to other places that I hadn't been before.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, asking people along the street or wherever if I could sit down with them for a little bit and get to know them and do a just a little blog biopic type thing.
I think that's kind of interesting because it kind of reminds me of the story when you first moved to Seattle, when you were a canvasser for different, you need signatures for different activist things.
Yeah.
Except for you're canvassing now for that person, not for somebody else. And you're trying to convince that person that you're canvassing for them. It's kind of almost like the opposite, but the approach is the same.
Hmm. So in thinking about the idea, I thought it'd be great to get a picture of these people. That'd be much more interesting for people reading it.
Sure.
And then I thought it would be even better if I could team up with a photographer. And we know that Ashley's been looking for ways to improve her or to grow her portfolio in photography. And she's been really successful lately.
She's a great photographer.
She is really great, yeah. And so that idea came to me. So I was FaceTiming with my brother Devin, her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't even mentioned Ashley yet, but I mentioned the idea of my blog to him. And he said, oh, that would be really cool because Ashley was thinking of doing something really similar and she's been talking about it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't sat down with Ashley yet, but her idea is similar, but it's actually kind of the opposite of what I wanted to do. And I think her idea is really great and it's something that we could put together this summer. But her idea was to focus on one location, but people who weren't native there. Mm-hmm. So I was talking about going elsewhere and talking to natives. She wanted to highlight the immigrants and the sort of outsiders who lived in Pocatello, Idaho,
mm-hmm.
in this small town in the middle of nowhere where traditionally most people have been white.
Mm-hmm. Republican.
White, Republican, conservative.
Or Native Americans nearby.
There are communities of Native Americans and Mexican immigrants nearby. And in fact, her family has Native American and Mexican in it. And I think that's kind of what gave her the idea. And one of her best friends is a Greek immigrant, too. And so she wanted, her idea with her photography skills was to do...
him. Yes, I know. Yes.
No, okay. Not... someone else, actually.
Okay.
She has a couple of Greek friends.
Yes. Some more interesting than others.
Yes.
Okay.
But her idea was to have to, from the photography side, photograph them in their Pocatello clothing. And also...
What is that? L.L. Bean hiking gear?
I guess so. Either hiking gear or polos.
Okay.
But then... also photograph them in their more traditional costumes or clothing from, you know, especially talking about first generation immigrant families.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I haven't talked to her about the details, but I think combining our skills and combining our ideas, it would be really cool to do a Pocatello-focused blog where we highlight people who... identify as multicultural.
Well, before you go, you should look at the some of the paperwork and class material I got from my American Mosaic sociology class. Mm. The whole point of that class was to focus on the culture or cultures within America. People assume America doesn't have a culture,
right?
And cultural norms and there's no elements within America worth studying, but of course there are.
Mm.
So I've still got it, I think. So if you want, you can. Okay. Take some of that stuff with you.
Yeah, that would be good. I've also looked at some TED Talks in the last couple of days related to being bicultural or spanning different cultures or feeling out of place in your culture, or, you know, those sort of ideas. So
mm-hmm.
certainly it'd be a very interesting a very interesting project, I think, and I think readers would be really interested in it.
Yeah.
And it's the sort of thing that, you know, it could be a project that could give both of us a little bit of work. Blogging can make some money, and it'd be fun to do something creative.
And you could also move it to YouTube.
Yeah, we could have clips of the interviews themselves on YouTube if we, yeah.
If you open up ads on YouTube, and if you get enough views, you can make a lot of money, or some money, depends.
Yeah.
But at the very least, you can increase your viewership.
Mm-hmm. But even if it doesn't turn a profit, it's the sort of project like Acapella Zoo was, where it could be very interesting to do and very interesting for people who participated in it. And it'd be worthwhile regardless of the money that came out of it.
Yeah. Well, everybody likes talking about themselves, but rarely do people ask them about themselves, strangers,
mm-hmm.
and really want to know details. A lot of people, I think, feel like they have something worth sharing, but don't feel like they have the right to share it.
Yeah.
I think it's the point of StoryCorps, to be honest.
I've thought about how to interview people, like what sort of questions you would want to ask somebody. And one idea I had was to ask them if they had ever been interviewed before, or if they had ever been in the news, or, you know, if
that's
they
a good question.
And then to follow up with that and saying, how do you feel like you were misrepresented, or what do you think was not understood by the person interviewing you when they left?
That's a really good question. I remember being interviewed once by the news, and they asked me kind of personal questions prior to saying they were recording. I said, oh no, we're just discussing until they're ready. And what they shared on the news was the personal part and not my answer to their question, which I felt like was an incredible violation of my trust.
Yeah.
So that'd be an interesting. It'd be interesting to see how many other people have that kind of experience.
Probably most people who have talked to the media, unfortunately.
Probably. Yeah. Okay. What are you most grateful for?
I think my health. I don't know why that just came to me, but...
Makes sense.
I've been pretty healthy, generally. And when you take a minute and force yourself to not take that for granted, you realize how different your life could be if you didn't have your health.
You know,
and it's it's such a privilege, really, to not have to worry too much about your health, and I've been able to do a lot only because I've been able to do a lot only because I've been healthy, and you know, we've been able to do a lot together because haven't had to deal with things that other people do have to deal with, so.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything you want to tell me now that you've never told me before? Since you're leaving tomorrow to go back to the States, and it's the end of our marriage, our 4 years together, now's as good a time as any.
I don't know, I feel like during our relationship we've been pretty communicative and open with each other, and
I was surprised.
Well, yeah, and I was just going to say in the areas where I struggled to be more honest about how I actually felt, you know, we've in the last 4 weeks we've been much more honest with each other about that, so... I don't know if there's really anything left. Just that.
Do you regret getting married?
I certainly don't regret the time that we've spent together, the things we've done together, the memories that we've built together. I do feel like I made a mistake in deciding to get married, but not because I regret the relationship or I regret the time that we've had together, just that now that I'm here, you know, in retrospect I can see that the promise that I made in marrying you was a promise that I wasn't going to keep. You know, it's a we both agreed when we made that, when we decided to get married, that that was going to be for life, and that we had no intention of it being a temporary relationship. Now that we're at where we're at, I do feel like it was on some level a mistake to make that promise. But regret, I don't like using that word regret, because I wouldn't change the individual moments that we've had together, certainly.
That's a good question. If you could go back and change something, if you could go back and not get married, would you not? Or would you still have the experience that we've had?
It's such a tricky question, because, like I said, I felt like it was a mistake to get married. If we could go back, then I don't think I would have agreed to get married. But so much of what we did together was contingent upon the fact that we were married.
Because I had to move.
Yeah. And I think that was a big factor in deciding to get married at the time, was knowing that if we didn't, that our relationship would end. And I wasn't ready for it to end. And I think that made it difficult for me to see that I wasn't necessarily ready to commit to it never ending either. So it was kind of a, kind of put me in a limbo, and I had to fall on one side or the other.
I think the Dalai Lama said, it's something like, it's okay to lose as long as you don't lose the lesson, I think.
And what do you take that to mean?
That it's okay to make the mistake as long as you learn from it.
Mm.
That making mistakes have as much value as being successful.
Mm.
I suppose, even if that's being married.
Yeah.
As much as that hurts.
My mom always told me that I needed to make more mistakes.
Maybe she's right.
Maybe, yeah.
I've made a lot of them. You have too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. How has your life been different than you would have imagined it to be when you were young?
I like that question, because sometimes I suddenly get this thought in my head, wondering what I would be thinking if I were a younger self looking into the future, seeing me in this very specific situation.
Mm, me too.
And sometimes it's because I'm in a really just bizarre situation that I would have never guessed, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, I grew up in a conservative Mormon household, so just the idea of walking down a road in Beijing with my husband, you know.
Yeah, not being able to see more than a city block.
And it's sort of this game that I have in my head. Like, I not only am I curious what I would think as a young person looking at this future that I'm in, but I would just be intensely curious to know what my younger self would try to guess at in order to fill in the gaps of what they were seeing. You know, mm-hmm. If they saw me walking down with this man in Beijing, what would they, like, would they think, oh, maybe I grew up and I was okay with being gay and I got married? And, you know, like, it, like, what would be, would my guess, would my interpretation of what I was seeing of this future event be completely off?
Mm-hmm.
Or would I just be overwhelmed by how out of context it was, because mm-hmm. My context was so removed from the context of my youth? Or,
right.
I don't know. And sometimes I have this thought when, just when I'm having a very normal moment, if I'm just like here in Bourges in France, walking to the grocery store, you know, walking with a baguette hanging out of my bag, you know, and walking down cobblestone roads and bumping into last week I bumped into a mother and son from New Zealand who were here in town for the international.
New Zealand?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me.
for the international fencing tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And I was wearing the shirt that you gave me, actually. I cannot live without books. And I could tell
from the Shakespeare store.
I could tell that they weren't French by the way that they were walking and by the way that their mouth was moving.
Interesting.
That they weren't speaking French and they weren't French people.
Because they were walking slowly.
Yeah. Well, and they also kind of looked like tourists, but...
Yeah. Was it the fanny pack? The bum bag?
She might have actually had a fanny pack, actually. Bum bag.
Of course.
But she, as I walked past, I heard her say, "Oh, I like that shirt." So I stopped and turned around, and I didn't say anything, but I just gave her the opportunity, because she seemed like a very sociable...
Extrovert.
Outgoing extrovert, yeah. Yeah. So I gave her the opportunity to talk to me if she wanted to, I had my hands just full of groceries and was dripping in sweat because it was a really hot day and I had a coat on and everything because the sun had come out while I was in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she turned around and she said, "Where did you get that?" And so it was just fun to start an English conversation with somebody in France, and they just assumed that I spoke English because I was wearing an English shirt.
Right.
I told her that it was a gift that I believe was purchased in Washington, D.C., and she said, "Oh, shoot, I'm not going that direction."
Oh, it was. You're right. I purchased it at the Library of Congress when I was there visiting the head curator of the Rare and Antiquarian Section.
Yeah, it's a quotation by Thomas S. Jefferson.
That's right.
Yeah, so...
Because I was seeing the Jefferson Library, mm-hmm. I remember.
So we had a chat for a little bit, and they told me why they were there, and we talked about experiencing Bourges as tourists and as, you know, temporary residents in my case. And
right.
Just another one of those moments where I thought, oh, this is just such a situation that I would have never anticipated being younger, being 10 or even a teenager, you know, in Pocatello, Idaho.
Okay. Tell me about your happiest moments together, our happiest moments together.
I think they've often been out in nature. An early one that comes in mind was when we went to is it Deception Pass, I think.
Really? That was one of your... Really?
Well, there was
interesting.
There was a moment when we were sitting on a rock. It was near the Giving Tree, I think.
Yeah.
We saw the Giving Tree, and then we just sat out on a rock and kind of relaxed for a bit and talked.
For the sake of clarity, the Giving Tree is this like 900-year-old Douglas fir by the ocean in Deception Pass? Near Deception Pass.
Yeah. I think so.
It's really, really unusual, gnarled tree that looks like it'll live forever.
Yeah, instead of growing straight up like most of them do, its branches grew really heavy and outward and very twisted. So some of the branches would even plunge down into the ground and then come back up out of the ground. But yeah, it was a really, really strange tree. Beautiful tree.
I didn't think that was one of your happiest moments because you were kind of disconnected from me when we went up there. You were really quiet during that trip.
That was really on in our relationship. Either that or it was even... I think we had a discussion during that same trip about whether or not to officially date each other exclusively.
Something like that, yeah.
So it was pretty early on, but I just remember...
It was a really nice time.
Yeah, I just specifically remember the tranquil moment sitting on the rock and enjoying a chat. And then more recently, last summer, when we were in, I think it was Yellowstone National Park.
With your family.
And
yeah.
We both woke up in the middle of the night, needed to go to the bathroom. So we decided to go together because it was a ways away with our flashlights in the middle of the night.
I forgot.
And we spent a moment just looking up at the stars and appreciating how many stars we could see in the sky. It was
amazing.
Really pretty.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Well, this last question, I don't think we have enough time for, so I'm not going to ask it. But thanks for letting me interview you.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And I've enjoyed our marriage together. I'm sad that it's ending. I know it's had a lot of good times and some rough times, and we haven't connected in the way that you wanted to. But
I will definitely take away a lot of memories and hope that our relationship afterwards is something that continues.
I hope so too.
That we do maintain a friendship.
I still love you.
You've been a part of my family